If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Seems like there are a lot of things that compete for our focus and our attention at Christmas. And I think there are some changes that Christmas ought to make in our lives. Even I myself often find myself spun around 360 degrees. But we always need to come back to our point of focus, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll ask if you will please stand. We'll look at Luke chapter 2, very familiar, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up into Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, if correctly read. Father, we thank you for the word of God, your Son, Jesus Christ, who is made flesh and dwelt among us. And Father, we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How we thank you for the word, Father, that the written word of God that you have given to us, that we hold in our hand. May your blessing be upon this time of preaching. Help us, Lord, to hear and become obedient thereunto. For this we ask in the worthy name of Christ our Redeemer and risen Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Several years ago, there was a couple that they were going to have their little baby christened. They lived in the northeast state. And on Saturday evening, before the Sunday christening of the child, they invited folks over on Saturday night to have a great big party and to have a time of coming together. And it seemed like everybody arrived all at once. And after everyone got in the house, the mother said, well, let's get the child and let you all see the one that's going to be christened in the morning. And when she went into the bedroom, she began to scream. Folks began to run in there, and she held her baby in her arms. What had happened was, when people got there, the first lady, not knowing that the mother had put her baby on the bed and in between some pillows, and the first person just threw her coat on what she thought was pillows, but it was on top of that baby. And one by one by one, as people continued to come into the home there, they piled all their coats and all their heavy coats and scarves on top of that child and it smothered it to death and it died. What a terrible thing. And I'll be honest with you, at Christmas time, our focus is supposed to be on Jesus Christ. But we'll set him off to the side and smother everything about Christ out and do everything else but that. It's Christmas. Let's think about Jesus. Number one this morning, what are some changes that Christmas made for these shepherds? Now the Bible tells us in verse number 8 that they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Here the Christ child had been born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. God had come to this earth. The shepherds had no idea. The shepherds were considered the vilest and the most despicable. And they were poor, poverty-stricken men. But socially, they had been rejected for the career which they had chosen. And they were watching over their flock by night. In other words, they were up on the hillside or maybe amongst them, and they were constantly looking, observing, and watching their sheep. When all of a sudden, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And then, according to the text, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Here these shepherds were living in a time of depression. Herod was the king. He was a tyrant. He hated the things of God. Society was in shambles. You realize it had been 400 years. God had never spoken until he spoke to a man by the name of Zacharias and said, "Your wife's going to have a baby, and he's going to be called John the Baptist, and John will prepare the way for the Messiah, the Christ child." And that was the first word of God in over 400 years. It was a time of darkness. It was a time of repression. It was a time of social injustice. I want to say to you this morning that the world in which we live, as fast-paced as it is, it seems like we have more, but really have less than we've ever had in our entire lives. And there is social injustice, and there is depression and repression. I'm telling you what, it is a wicked day in which you and I live. And in that day, the shepherds had their heads down, gazing on their flocks, their heads down because of the present darkness and the present evil that was in the world. But you know what happened? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord came upon them and they lifted up their heads. You know what Christmas ought to cause us to do? Christmas ought to cause us to lift up our heads and look to Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 3, verse 3, that he is the lifter up of our heads. Thanks be unto God for that. Did you know that in the Bible, the King James Bible, that the word lift is found 100 times? The word lifted is found 149 times. Listen to what he says in Psalms 24:7. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." What does Psalm 121 say? It says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." He says in Psalm 123, verse 1, "Unto thee will I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." He said, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." He says in Luke 21, 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." You realize that we're in a time that there ought to be some lifting up of our heads. It seems like I watch as people come into church or even as they leave, oftentimes our heads are down. But praise God this morning
that we can come in the house of God and get our center, our focus upon Jesus Christ. And when we start singing those songs of Zion, something begins to stir and our focus gets back on Him, and heads that were down a little earlier now begin to lift up as they look towards Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, true story, when Leonardo da Vinci was painting the Last Supper, he was painting it on a wall of a monastery. And often, you know, he would take people that were there in the monastery to become examples of his disciples that he was painting. And he painted one young man, and years later he had not finished Judas, and he went to the prison to find a man that would be so vile and so despicable, and he was trying to use this man as an example, and he found one that would make a good project for him to focus upon as he painted Judas. And as he did, the man began to weep and cry. And he said, "Sir, what is wrong with thee?" And he said, "Don't you recognize me?" He said, "No, I do not." He said, "I'm the same one that was in the monastery that you painted as Jesus many years ago. And now, because of sin in my life, my head being down, I've been arrested for crimes that I have done, and I'm now your example of Judas." They also, as he painted, he was so slow and methodical. They began to, some of the other monks and things began to laugh at him and think that he was just a lazy person because he would wait around so much. And they asked him about his inactivity, and this is what he said. He said it is, and he was just sitting there meditating, thinking how he should do it. He said, "It is after the longest pause when I make the most telling strokes with my brush." And I thought about that. I thought, you know, after God waited for 400 years before he spoke to anybody, it was that time, which seemed to be a time of inactivity, that he made the most telling stroke with his brush, when he sent John the Baptist to be born, and he sent his son when the fullness of time was come. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that God sent forth his son. You and I need to learn then at this Christmas time that we need to lift up our heads. The shepherd sure did. There was a woman, she was struggling with eyesight, and she went to see the doctor, and he said, "Well, ma'am," he said, "you know, your eyesight is pretty decent." And she complained with pain in her neck and tension within the lower parts of her face. And he discovered that she was a seamstress, and she spent her entire day threading needles and sewing by hand. And he said, "Ma'am, this is my recommendation for you. This would be the remedy." He said, "Where do you live?" She said, "I live in the Smoky Mountains." Said, "Can you see them from where you live?" She said, "I've got a beautiful view right off my back deck." He said, "Ma'am, I'll tell you something. The best thing you can do is step away from looking down so often and go out and look up." Did you get that? The best thing for your condition this morning. I know you're facing a lot of pressure, and I know that you're under the gun. You've got a lot of things that's got to be done. You've got a pretty narrow target here you've got to hit. But I'll say this to you. Make sure and lift up your head and look to Jesus. Amen. That's the first thing. The second thing is about these shepherds that I think that we need to examine is found in verse number 15. The Bible says, as it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now, that's pretty interesting to me this morning. That tells me that Christmas not only caused them to lift up their heads, but Christmas caused their hearts to unite. You know, Christmas is a time when a lot of families, there's division, separation, jealousies, hatreds, mistreatment. In fact, because you're short on time, you'll be frustrated and short-tempered. And you'll say little ugly things one to another. But listen, these shepherds, what they said. They said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." One of them didn't jump up and say, let me go first. I want to lead the pack. And the other one didn't say, you get out of my way. I'm going to. They said, let us. They were together. There's a pronoun, us, that's together. Hey, does Christmas unite your family? Does Christmas unite the church? It should. First of all, there should be some unity in our peace, one with another. Amen? The second thing is there was some unity in their purpose. They were going to see Jesus. Amen. We ought to all want to go do that. They were together or united, not only in their purpose or in their peace, but in their path. They were all traveling the same path together. Could it be said about you and yours that we are traveling this path together? Could it be said about the church this morning as you're getting ready to step into a time of a great Christmas project and maybe there'll be souls to be won for Jesus Christ's sake? Could it be said that the things that we're involved with causes unity within the church? Is there one vision? Is there one purpose? Is there one theme? That theme being Jesus Christ. Is there a theme of making sure that souls hear about Jesus? Christmas should cause unity to come into the family of God. Now, there's a story about these two horses. They were having this big pull to see which horse was the strongest. And it came down to two horses. And one of them pulled 4,000 pounds, and the other horse pulled 4,500 pounds. We have a winner. Ding, 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 ding. But then the two owners of the horses got together and said, if we combine their strength, how much could they pull? Could they pull 8,500 pounds? Oh, they exceeded that. When they got together and were unified, they pulled a little over 12,000 pounds together. Does Christmas cause you to pull together? If it doesn't, it should. Now listen, it didn't say one shepherd, shepherds. Everyone was watching their individual flocks. Christmas ought to cause every church to come together. Amen. Thirdly, I want you to notice in verse 16, the Bible says they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. First of all, it lifted their heads. Second of all, it caused their hearts to be united. Thirdly, I believe it caused them to bow their knee. Now, Preacher Darren, it doesn't say that. It doesn't. But the angel had told those shepherds, said that this baby is Christ the Lord. They believed it. They went out to see the Christ child. Don't you know when they got there, they worshiped. Don't you know when they got there, they bowed their knee before the King of Glory wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Boy, it sure would have been a sad thing to have left the field and the flocks behind and went to see the Christ child and said, yep, that's him. Got to get on back to the flock. Got to get on back to the family. Got to get on back to our friends. We got a lot of things we got to do. I got to get to this house, and we got this dinner, and I got to get these presents over there. I just don't have enough time. I'm going to tell you something. They came a long way. And the very fact they came united in their purpose and united in their path, they worshiped. I believe when they got there, they saw the Christ child, Mary and Joseph. They saw the humble place, the cave, the manger, the feeding trough. And I think they bowed themselves and bent their knee to Jesus. Christmas ought to make you want to bow your knee before Him. There's a lot of you wouldn't bow your knees. If it's the last thing God ever asked you to do, you wouldn't do it. Hard-hearted, stubborn, rebellious. What if the shepherds was like you? I want you to come see the Christ child. I've seen babies before. I'm too busy. I got a flock to watch. I mean, the wolf might come in while I'm gone. That's what us pastors do. I'm too busy to worship. I got too many other things to do. Let me tell you something. My job is to preach you the gospel. And what we have got to do is we've got to bow our knee. I want you to know that Christmas, the Christ child, gave it and created a desire within the shepherd's heart to cause them to bow their knee before the authority of Jesus Christ. I know you got Christmas dinner today. I know you're going to be in the heated rush and try to get out and get all these things done. But Christmas should cause you to want to bow your knee and thank Him. And I'm going to say this, and I'll try to move off of it. But, Preacher Darren, what's going to prevent us from bowing our knee at Bethel Baptist Church? Hasn't He been good to you? You know why we won't do it? Pride. Well, let somebody else go bow. What if the shepherds thought like that? Let somebody else go. I don't have time. I'm too busy. Here's the last thing I think Christmas ought to do. It's found in verse number 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Preacher Darren, what happened? Their tongues were loosed. Here they were, minding their own business, and the angel appeared. They left their flocks, and they went down there and they bowed before the Christ child. Don't you know when they got up, they went and told somebody. They didn't just say, "We have found the Christ child. He's a beautiful baby. Things are well. Mary seems to be doing pretty good. Joseph was a really nice fella." You know, there was angels. We've seen angels. There was angels there. And animals, I've never seen the like, but the animals even bowed down like something great was going on. It's one of the happiest times in my entire life. You need to go yourself. It really thrilled you. That's the way we sing. That's the way we tell others about Him. But if your ball team had won, man, you ought to sing it. They tried that last second field goal and they kicked it. And the ball went up and the guy went back there and he caught it. And he ran through 11 guys for his life and came down there and they won this. Man, they won the game. We love coming to church. Church is a real blessing. I might even come back tonight. I might come back tonight because this was so good. Just depends on how that ham hits me. That turkey makes me sleep. The Bible says that their tongues were loosed. Doesn't say that, but that's my interpretation. They returned glorifying God. They were praising Him. You ain't going to believe it. The Christ child's been born. The law has talked about it. The prophets has told us about it. The angels showed up and told us about it. And we got there, it's just like He said. Jesus Christ is born. He's laying in a manger, the Savior of the world. And He spoke to us, we lowly, wicked, poor, poverty-stricken shepherds. He chose to send us the message. Jesus saves, and we've seen Him. We worshiped Him. Hey, glory to God. Their tongues were loosed, and they told others about the Christ child. Oh, if you and I could get our tongues loose and begin to really praise Him. I mean, just really let it go. Some of you this morning, you just about shouted a little earlier today, but you held it back, didn't you? Oh, I don't want to shout. I don't want to say, oh, praise the Lord. As a little boy, his job was to be in the play as an angel. He was to say, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great things." He was scared. He had stage fright. His tongue was not loose. He said to his mama backstage, "I'm so scared, Mama. I don't know what I'm going to do." She said, "You remembered your line. We practiced and practiced." "I know, Mama. What does good tidings even mean?" She said, "It means good news." "Oh, good news. I get it. Good news. Good news. Good news." Time for his line. He walked out front. "I've got good news. Jesus has been born." His tongue got loose. Hey, man, his tongue got loose. I want to say to you this morning, wouldn't it, God, that Christmas would cause you to want to bow your knee? that Christmas would cause you to want to loose your tongue, that Christmas would cause your hearts to get united one with another. Hey, that Christmas would cause you to quit looking at the doldrums of life. You'd go to looking up, and you'd get to looking at Him. Father, I bow my head this morning as just an old sinner, a meager peasant, an unworthy subject, with transgression and iniquity and sin that seems to fill our lives. Lord, we know how we've sinned against You. It's great. Nehemiah said, both I and the Father's house we've sinned, oh God. I ask You this morning, Lord, forgive us of our failures, of our folly, of our sin. Lord, we come this morning to say, Lord, we want to lift up our head. Lord, we spend so much time looking down, so much time looking at things, examining them, expecting them, trying to figure a way. And Lord, there is no way except through You. So Lord, I bow to say, Lord, I love You. I lift my head. Lord, I unify my heart to the will of God. Pray, God, You'd help me with that. And I pray, God, You'd help me, Lord, not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind through the power of the gospel. Father, then I pray, Lord, that You'd help me. God, that I would be always willing to bow the knee. Lord, that my heart would be bowed at the will and the authority of God at all times in sweet surrender. God, my tongue, my stammering tongue might be loosed to offer You this continual sacrifice of praise. Lord, I pray, God, You'd help us, Lord, that we'd be praising God for the things which we've seen and the things which we've experienced, all because Jesus came, born in this sin-cursed earth to die for our sins. Thank You, Lord, for all You do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.